Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here Wednesday, December the 30th, 2020. 17 minutes past the hour. Only, what now, 2 days left in 2020. Just right around the corner, the new year is upon us. I got to tell you, I had a great morning this morning. And if you've been a continual listener to this program, you know that for about 6, 7, 8 Wednesdays now, I have shown up here on Wednesday morning, and there is always something great in the studio. And one of my favorite weeks of this was the week I got banana pudding and vanilla wafers. For some reason, I think going back to my childhood, I have always liked vanilla wafers and banana pudding. It's just one of my favorite dishes. And a few weeks ago, that showed up here at the station, and I loved it, and it was delicious, and I ate the whole big bowl. And this morning, I showed up here, 2 days left in 2020, and here was a bowl of chilled banana pudding and vanilla wafers. And extra vanilla wafers, by the way, here in the studio, so I have been chomping on those. And a large Diet Coke from McDonald's, which certainly does not hurt by any stretch of the imagination. So it is going to be a great Wednesday. I can feel it. You know, it's just so nice when somebody does something like that. I think maybe that should be the New Year's resolution for a lot of people, is to do kind acts that other people are not really expecting or don't know about or don't ask about. I think if we all did that a little more often, then I think we would all be a little happier. You know, it's funny. I think here we are coming off the Christmas holiday, and I think a lot of that is based in money, how much you spend. And it really doesn't have to be that way. Everybody's got some kind of talent. Some people can cook really well, like the person who brings me the food here on Wednesday morning. Some people are very crafty. Some people can crochet. Some people can make calligraphy. Yeah, everybody's got some kind of a talent. And if we use those talents to try to make other people's lives better, you know, I think maybe if we did that a little more often and stop worrying so much about the price tag, we'd all be a little happier, and maybe we would all get along a little better. I think we're a very financially driven society, and yes, you've got to pay your bills, and yes, you've got to buy groceries, and I'm not saying you don't have to do that, but I think sometimes we want more, and it doesn't always have to be that way. Sometimes it is the little things that you remember, and I will never forget this Wednesday, the last 7 or 8 Wednesdays, that this has been going on, because it's a lot of fun to come in and have something like that done, because that is not something you can order at McDonald's or Burger King or Wendy's or anywhere else. You can't go through and get banana pudding and vanilla wafers there. The no-bake cookies, which were here last week, you can't get those anywhere. It's something somebody really has to put some thought into, I guess is what I should say. So maybe kind acts should be the New Year's resolution. I think the whole New Year's resolution thing is going to be totally different this year, because I think, usually the number one is always lose weight. Number two is to exercise more. You know, there's those, and they've been that way for a long time. I don't know that that's going to be the case this year. I think this whole pandemic and the year we have had, and the year we're going to have. You know, the funniest thing the last few months is watching people say, man, 2020 has been awful, and we're going to go into 2021, and that's got to be better. Well, you know, if we really look back at 2020, the first You know, 2.5 months were not bad. The first 2.5 months of 2020 was regular. We're regular, or however you want to say it. I guess we're regular is the way to say it. You know, January, all of February, and half of March were normal. Everything was as it had been. It was from mid-March on that was a mess. And here we are, going to go into January. Things are not going to fix themselves right away. And most people are saying we're not going to be totally fixed till somewhere in the fall, probably August, September. Now, maybe it'll be quicker. That would be nice. But, you know, most of 2021 is probably going to be wrapped up in this as well. So I think we've just got to start learning how to live like this until we don't have to live like this anymore, and not putting a time frame on it. The time frame thing, I think, is a bad idea. I don't think it has anything to do with 2020. I don't think it has anything to do with 2021. I think it's going to last as long as it's going to last, and it looks like it's going to last about a year and a half altogether. Started in March of this year. Looks like it's going to run to August or September of next year. And that's just the way it is. So there you go. That's what we got. Although, I did see a report on this stimulus check situation. It looks like some money is going to be coming people's way here very shortly, and that'll be good. People haven't had any money from the government, no stimulus checks, since I think it was back in April when most people got their stimulus check. Now, the checks will be smaller this time, but hopefully after Christmas and into the new year, that'll help people out and get them on the right track. But here's the thing about the banana pudding. I have a guest coming on here in about 7 minutes. It's the amazing Kreskin, and every year for many, many years, I don't know how long we've been doing this now, we're going to do our 2021 predictions. Well, he'll do his 2021 predictions, and I'll listen. And I did not want to start eating the banana pudding yet because I didn't want to have my mouth full while I'm talking to Kreskin. So during the break at the top of the hour, I'm going to bust into that banana pudding. Although I have been eating the dry wafers here, which taste very, very good. And I certainly am drinking the Diet Coke from McDonald's, which you can never go wrong with. You know what's interesting when it comes to McDonald's is that, you know, it was Wednesday, and as everybody knows, I've got this down to a science. Wednesday morning, between 7 and 8 o'clock, the truck comes to McDonald's on Route 95, and they block off a lane when they're unloading this truck. So, you know, just like any other Wednesday, that semi was there this morning unloading the merchandise for McDonald's, and one of the lanes was blocked off in the drive-thru, but there was not a long wait today, and there was not a long wait yesterday, and there was not a long wait Monday. Now, here's why I think that is. I think it's because people are not in school right now. I think it's because a lot of factories during this time of year take a week off. They relax a little bit. So I think what's going on is we're seeing the effects of not so many people on the road in the morning. And you can tell it. There aren't a whole lot of people on the road in the morning. A lot of people take their vacations this time of year. This is a big vacation week, the week between Christmas and New Year. So I think maybe that's what's going on, but I'm sure next week we'll be back to normal and the lines will be packed. You know, it's interesting because right before Christmas, a lot of the schools went on remote again, to where the students were not coming to the buildings anymore. But I really did not see a drop-off in the traffic in the morning, and usually you see a drop-off in the traffic in the morning when something like that happens. But it occurred to me that we had so many people out Christmas shopping. People who were in the grocery store, people who were in the department stores, people who were in the restaurants, I mean, it was absolutely ridiculous. It was a ridiculous Christmas season, and I think that's why things did not slow down. Even though the students stopped going to school, I think that everything stayed way up because we were having such a busy Christmas season. But now that Christmas has came and went, as they say, and we're headed into the new year, I think that's all going to calm down quite a bit. Because even when people return to work next week, and I'm not sure that the schools are returning next week, maybe we'll talk about that in the next hour. It's January is not a big month. We don't have any Halloweens, we don't have any Thanksgivings, we don't have any Christmases, we don't have any New Year's holidays. You know, once January 1st is over with, it's really kind of calm. There's nothing really going on party-wise in the 31 days of the month of January. So I think it's going to calm down quite a bit. Football's over after the first of the year, more or less. There might be some bowl games that still have to be played, but that season is over. Baseball is not playing in January. So there's really just not a whole lot going on. Basketball, I guess, is still around in the month of January, but it's just not a busy time. January, February, and March really don't see a whole lot going on. I mean, there is Valentine's Day in February, and that's just one night, though. It's really only one night where people go out. And same thing for March. You have St. Patrick's Day. That's one night where people go out. But other than that, there are not these big buying, preparing, store holidays. So maybe this will help the whole pandemic situation, because it might dial everything back, that people don't have to go to the stores and buy big meals and buy gifts for people and so on and so forth. And we could all use a little rest, I think, at this particular point. Kreskin's going to be joining us here in about a minute and a half. But the whole second hour of the program today, I'm leaving open so we can talk. We haven't had a chance to talk this week. We've had guests in all week. So next hour, it's just going to be you and me on the toll-free talking about whatever is on your mind. I want to know how your Christmas was. Want to know what you're planning for New Year's. New Year's Eve's tomorrow. It's coming right up on us. Can't wait to hear what Kreskin is going to predict for 2021. This is going to be a lot of fun here momentarily. So this is where we are. Now, also today, I'll be on through noon with Glenn Coble. So I'll be on from 10 until 12 with Glenn. And then Glenn will be on with A Progressive Life from 12 to 1. We also have Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond today, 4:10 to 5 p.m. And the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon will air today, 6:10 to 7 p.m. So don't miss any of those great program offerings right here on WWGH Radio. Boy, is that banana pudding on my mind right now. You know, I really should have brought it in here and sat it in front of me, just so I would have it, because now I'm really craving it. I'm only 30 minutes away from it, because at the top of the hour, I'm going to go grab it. So I'm getting close. I might have to, while Kreskin's on the line, I might have to really get into these vanilla wafers, because I'm really looking forward to the taste of this. There is something about banana pudding and vanilla wafers that is just delicious to me. And the last time this person made this dish, it was so good. You know, you can screw up just about anything, culinary-wise, food-wise, but this person really knows how to cook. And I'm really looking forward to this banana pudding, which is just right around the corner here on WWGH Radio. Now, Kreskin should be calling in any time here. I can't wait to see what he's got to say. Predictions for 2021. He's always pretty good about this. Now, remember last time when he was on, we went over the election predictions. That was fascinating, because Kreskin said, when he was on last time, he said that his prediction was right, which was Joe Biden. We saw the envelope. I opened up the envelope live on the air the last time he was on. He said his prediction was right in that regard, that Joe Biden obviously will be the next president. But he said for the first time his prediction was wrong. But he really didn't. We didn't have a lot of time, and he really didn't get into what that really all meant. So maybe we'll get into that this morning, since we'll have a little more time to discuss it. That was kind of fascinating. I don't know what that meant. I could speculate as to what that meant, but I don't think I'm going to do that at this particular time. 2 days left in the year. You know, 365 days sounds like a lot. It sounds like a lot of time, but really, it's not. I remember last year, I remember last New Year's Eve. It blows right by. I think this might be our guest coming up here. And as we continue on this morning here on WWGH Radio, for the rest of the hour here, for the next 30 minutes, we're going to be joined by a great pal of this program. We visit with him multiple times throughout the year. It is never a disappointment, that is for sure. He's one of the great talk show guests, and as I say, a good pal of mine. And we're going to do something this morning we have been doing between Christmas week and New Year's Day. We've been doing this during this week now for probably close to 20 years. This has been happening. That's how long this relationship has been going. I do get a Christmas card from him every year. He's a fun man, and the last time he was on, he kind of left us on the hook when it came to the last presidential election. A very profound statement last time he was on. Maybe we'll delve into that a little bit today. But here with the predictions for the year coming up, 2021, my pal, a man who has been beloved by talk show hosts for so many years, from Johnny Carson to David Letterman to Sally Jesse Raphael and a whole lot of others, the legendary mentalist, number one, the amazing Kreskin. Kreskin, how are you?
You know, Scott, it's so good to talk to you, and now that I've heard this, so, you know, so, such a supportive introduction, I can honestly tell you I'm totally sober, totally, not that I drink, you know, I still start the rumors and nobody believes them, Scott.
well, and it's close to New Year's Eve. You never know.
I really don't. For years, I've sort of jokingly and reported, say, yeah, cranberry juice or something else. Once in a while, I'll have a glass of wine with some folks and what have you. But it's hard to believe. We're on the air now, are we, Scott?
We are on the air live.
You know, when you think about this and reflect upon this, and you are one of the first people I'm speaking to. I've been talking in the middle of the night out of the country because people have been interested in some of my reflections and what have you. But this is it's hard to believe this is the end of this year, because where did this year start? And when you think of the content of it, it reads like a dramatic novel that may have been over-accentuated and gotten bad reviews because it couldn't be that serious, if you know what I mean. You know what I'm saying, Scott?
I do, and you know what's interesting, and I was talking about this morning in the first 15 minutes of the show.
Right.
So much I heard at the end of 2020, and as we're approaching the end of 2020, people talk about how bad a year it was, but you know, we're going to go into 2021, and from what I'm hearing from the doctors and everybody else, it's going to be a while. Things aren't going to change overnight.
Well, I agree with you. My reflections, to be honest with you, are somewhat different than we've ever discussed before. And I say this to you because we understand each other. We've been very honest, and you know how I think, and I know how you think. But I was literally, Scott, about a month ago, offered to do an interview. Not an interview, but they said, Kreskin, we'll pay for a full-page ad in the New York Times, entire page, and would you devote the entire page to your reflections on the, not the coming year, but the coming decades to come. The crazy thing, and listen, we're on the radio now, we're on the radio loud, and I have to, live, and I have to tell the viewers, I don't consider myself a psychic in the sense that I advise people's, you know, that give them directions in what they're going to do in the future and what have you. My degree is in psychology. My life is based on reading people's thoughts. And as I explained to you the last time when I had that mixed feelings about the election, basically the secret, the key to my thought, my predictions of the elections is my audiences. And as I told you, and of course this past year, we've had very few live shows in person. I'm doing private shows. I'm doing shows this New Year's Eve in people's homes, but I will be here and they will be in their homes, and some of them will return engagements where they had booked me for live in-person appearances. But today we don't have that. We don't have live appearances. We've cut down, of course, on the amount of people that can appear in churches. We've cut down on the amount of people that can attend private parties, and cut down on restaurants and what have you. We have not, by the way, I've never seen any evidence, Scott, of cutting down on the amount of people that can riot, that can be in protest groups and so forth. No, our politicians there. And I, by the way, when I'm finished, I want you folks to listen in, because I'm saying this quite honestly. Don't misunderstand me. I have nothing against politicians. I just wish that most of them had been on the Titanic. And I've been quoted all over the world on that remark. And in fact, it was repeated now in some newspapers in Italy, because the politicians get a kick out of it. But sadly enough, at times I almost feel that way. You know what I mean, Scott, without my getting nasty or anything like that. It gets very frustrating.
Oh, absolutely. Well, last time you were on, and it was interesting, and it was because what you had said, if people weren't listening the last time you were on, we opened up the envelope and we had talked about your prediction, and it did say Joe Biden in the presidential election, but you had said that for the first time, which, I mean, obviously, we as a whole, we think, well, that sounds right, because Joe Biden's going to be inaugurated, as far as we know, on January 20th. But you said for the first time you felt you were wrong. But, see, that was kind of hard to understand.
To clarify, Scott, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but Scott, the thing is, this is after I had sealed my prediction at Atlantic City, you know, and gone through all that, and it was like two or three days later, and suddenly hit me like a ton of bricks. And that's not normally the way I function. I don't suddenly get a change of mind or what have you, unless there's going to be an attack or some conflict is going on, and something that maybe I've been close to because I knew the people involved. So it came out of nowhere, and I just and knowing how I function, and I'm an honest person about my work, I thought, you know, I've just got to express this. Why I got that, I cannot tell you. Certainly I had no audiences to work in front of, because the programs are now in private groups and they're small groups of people. So it was one of the most unusual, and maybe in weeks or months to come, there'll be some reasoning behind it. I've talked to psychologists. I had no issue in my life. But, you know, a lot, now I'm going to reveal some thoughts to you and confide in you, as I'm going to confide in the public in general in the days to come, because they want me to expound on the future and level. And as an American citizen, as negative, as serious as what my feelings are, I think it's maybe I owe it to at least express myself. And since we're on live, if you hear any unusual sounds, I have four cats in my, I just threw a cat off my kitchen table because of my notes here. I have four cats, and that's one of the settling things in my life. Do you have any pets, Scott?
You know, I did up until this year. One passed away, but I haven't gotten a new one, yeah.
What did you have, a dog or a cat?
I did have a cat. I actually inherited a cat from somebody who had passed away many years ago, and it lived quite a long time.
Isn't how about what age would you say?
You know,
I have one that lived 18 years old.
Yeah, it was in that neighborhood, I think 16 or 17.
Now, but going, I want to backtrack a little bit. I want to take you back to my childhood when I was in my, teens and what have you, and it was the end of the Second World War, and I had not gone to high school yet. I was still in grade school, going into junior high school. My dad worked for a battery company, a flashlight company. Did not have a vast education, but was certainly better educated than many, many people I have known who've gone to universities and what have you. He was well read. He read the newspapers every day, and got me in the habit of reading a newspaper every day. I read four newspapers a day. when I'm traveling, I don't have access to as many. But when I get home, there's usually a stack of them because I catch up on what's been going on. I like to read from the scandal papers to the conservative ones to the fiction ones. Well, it's hard to distinguish one from the other. But something happened, and you'll remember this. We had as president during the Second World War Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and we had his ally. If you hear this noise, this racket going on, I don't usually have this when I'm on the air, but we're feeding the cats right now. Don't worry about that. Can you hear me now clearly?
You sound good.
It's distracting to me, but that's okay. What I was going to say is that he allied with Winston Churchill, and I consider Churchill one of the greatest leaders and historians in modern history. If his people had read the hundreds of pages he wrote before World War II and listened to what he had to say, they would have been so shocked at the behavior of Adolf Hitler. But you got to remember that a certain person went to visit Hitler for England and came back from England with a note from Adolf Hitler that said basically he was excited, and he told the members of the government that Hitler promised he would not attack the nation. I can't think of his name right now, but it was soon after that, of course, we know what happened. England was bombed every night, night after night after night. And if you visited Churchill's quarters years after he had gone, they were underground, and they looked like a mausoleum, an empty mausoleum, but that's where he had to be for safe reasons. But he had an interesting philosophy in his life. He tried to make certain that every week he met with his family, his sons, his wife, what have you, and they had dinner around a table, because he felt that communication, which is part of history done by through the centuries by most all cultures, was one of the most healing and powerful sealing factors in society. That's disappeared in the United States today, you know. People are so busy and so forth that they don't have one meal in which everyone is gathered around the table and what have you. But he also had great wisdom, and that is, he said, when this horrendous period was happening, where bombs were being dropped every day, he said, if he has to make a pact with the devil, he would. And one of the wisest moves, and this is where we don't study history, and I'm sick and I have some commentary seriously on what I foresee going on in our educational system today, which is on the verge of collapse. I have people here in New Jersey, they're taking their kids out of grade school and putting them into private school, and I'll tell you why momentarily. But at the same time, he met with one of the most evil persons on the face of the earth, and that was Joseph Stalin. And thank God he and Roosevelt and Churchill, Roosevelt and Stalin bonded together, because part of the downfall of Russia was, of course, when Hitler did not pay attention to history and Napoleon and marched his people into Russia, his army, and of course, you remember reading in history that he lost a major part of his army, Scott. Remember that whole scenario?
I do. It was a very bad winter, and they were not ready for it.
But Stalin was. He starved his audience. He let people die in that city. He was evil, evil, evil. People died because there was no food, and consequently there was no food for the Westerners who were coming in, and there was a very and so forth. But at the same time, they lost. Germans had nowhere to eat because Stalin was willing to kill his people in order to starve and cause the Germans to lose. So look at the wisdom. So when we hear of scenarios today, and then criticize people for certain decisions they make, and sometimes it's very worthy of criticism, we have to realize that war doesn't go by the Marcus of Queensbury rules. Would you agree that the rules are slightly different when it comes to war, Scott?
Oh, absolutely.
So anyway, then let me tell you what changed my life and why I've had a dim view in general a reserved, conservative, dim room of politicians in general. I don't mean all politicians, because I think there are some very fine ones, maybe less than 1%, and I'm being sarcastic, but deliberately so. Roosevelt was so beloved by his people that he was voted in for a third time, first time that a president was now reelected for a third occasion. And of course, as history has shown it, he died in office. He wasn't in office that long and died. I can remember very vividly those days and the memorial feeling we all had in our families and what have you. And Congress and the legislature, out of great wisdom, and I say it's wisdom based on an area that showed their stupidity and dishonesty, they decided to pass a law. And as you know, a president cannot take office three times in a row. If he's been president twice, he cannot run for a third term. The only thing that bothered me, and understand that I was a naive, uneducated kid who read the newspapers every day because my father would discuss the government and what have you and not show prejudice. The only thing that bothered me is, if that was the decision and they were that honest about it, why didn't they make that for every other area of the government where there were term limits for the role that a person took in the government? Today, the wonderful thing about going into government, I say to kids, you might be wiser not going to college, but going into government, because you can make more money. You can make much bigger money. College costs a tremendous amount today because the heads of the universities are now, some of them are getting $500,000 to $1 million a year. Why? Investigate that, folks. Look into, for God's sakes, look into what's going on behind the scenes today. But at the same time, look at the money that's being made, and I'm not just talking about the president's son and so forth. I mean, obviously he did it very honestly, whether he did it at a casino or what have you, and all this stuff. But years ago, if someone involved in the government or related brought in millions of dollars with the countries that we were dealing with, there would be a great anguish. In the case today, it's almost been ignored by the press. And this is not criticizing Biden's son. It's criticizing the entire picture. If you folks knew, and I am sworn to confidence because some of the press has sat with me and confided in me, they say, "Question, we can't talk about it. We'll lose our jobs." If you folks knew the amount of money that's being made behind the scenes by politicians, it is frightening. And then some plan when they leave politics to go into the companies that now support businesses and what have you. What's the whole job that a lot of people have that work for companies that bring in support for businesses? It's a whole another area of the business world, and they will take on that business even though they may have dealt with them as political figures years ago. That wasn't such a popular thing or wise thing to do. The bottom line is, there is so much going on. We think of the riots and the wisdom of the riots. I got mail and I got phone calls from people in different parts of the world because I travel all over the world. And the question, this is none of my business, one reporter says, but, and I'm not writing about this, but can you explain to me why your country is based on freedom of speech and what have you, and we're seeing videos here of towns in which businesses are being burnt down and people are cheering all around. They say, I thought it was safe to live in the United States and feel that you can be at home and be comfortable at home. For cities to be closed down for 2 or 3 weeks, and you mean to tell me the politicians are not to blame for this, or that they have an ulterior factor behind the scene? I've lost a great deal of faith in our so-called leaders, and I do think we need a cutoff time where others can come in, whether it's young people, whether it's new people, and what have you. That is something that's been looming behind. I wrote a book a little over 3 years ago in which I said in the book, I don't know why, I can't even understand why, but we could have in the United States a close down of the whole country because of, and I knew nothing about a disease or what have you. I think, by the way, the disease is probably one of the most powerful military weapons that have ever existed in creating wars and disturbance. And I'm not saying the disease was created or what have you, or came out of a special source and what have you, but it has become a fantastic military weapon, because the key in controlling countries and enemies is to break down the fabric of their society, make it more and more difficult for people to gather. And now you can't gather a certain size church groups, can't gather certain. I think the biggest mistake that this country made, and I know writers who are putting it into books they're writing on now, is the closing down of cities around the United States, because more illnesses have come in private gatherings, close gatherings, than people that were outdoors and what have you. And I think that this is one of the, and we can certainly credit, by the way, and I swear to you that I have reason for it, that this is true, there's a great desire to close down cities for another half a year or even longer than that. Because understand this, when you're fighting a war, and I believe we are now involved in World War III. The past few days are the first time I've said it. I believe we are involved in World War III. The enemy is not only from without the country, but the enemy is within the country. And one of the key factors for the closing down of cities, which is putting many, many businesses out of business, thousands of people have lost their job, and I know people all over the country, it's a disastrous, tragic situation. One of the reasons we are now changing with the 1619 education thing, we're out of colleges now, they put together an educational history of the United States. Now it's going to be taught in some of the schools here in New Jersey. It shows that the problem with prejudice and so forth is created by a white movement in the past and what have you. All this stupid, asinine, imbecile crap, and that's being put together. I would not want my kids to be taught this, because that's not the case, and we're not going to be blamed for the past. Yes, you can say, and slavery was a terrible thing, but there were some great accomplishments made even during that period. And don't, as some people do, want to tear down Abraham Lincoln and what have you, because somehow they did make some very, very serious contributions. But the breakdown, just remember this, and you young people, you're not going to be taught this in school, but we've got to study communism. And we have a very serious threat now, because we have the China and the communist government China, which the government may be more wealthy at this time than our wealth is at this particular time. But understand the beginning. When they approach the borders of Russia and started to enter the city and create scenarios, they first started to tear down the statues. And the reason they were tearing down the statues all over Russia is they were saying, well, these people are a bad influence. Look at the harm they've done. We've got to get rid of them. We've got to get rid of their memories and what have you. And on it went to limiting books. Certain books were taken out of bookstores and what have you. And then in public, not so much comedians, but in public scenarios, certain people could not be discussed anymore. And it slowly was the breakdown and the destruction of the history of the country. Right now, and these kids will not admit it, although they have admitted it to me personally, there are scores of young people, I don't mean thousands, but scores, and I don't know how many, who are being paid a salary in their job. And I have in front of me a list. I'm looking at it right now. Right now, there's 22 Americans on the list of people that their responsibility is to look up and to find some negative thing in their past. Hey, they found Keith Smith sang some song years and years ago, early in their career. Well, she was one of the most inspiring entertainers that ever existed. And when, who wrote, do you know who wrote God Bless America?
I do not.
Yeah, well, he wrote also White Christmas.
Oh, really?
And he also wrote The Easter Parade. And it would be interesting if one, I'd like one of your listeners to call and mention who, because he gave to Kate Smith, God Bless America, and as a kid, every single movie, every time I went to the movies, we stood up in the beginning, because there was Kate Smith on screen, the film of her singing God Bless America. And now, for the some of the sports teams that played that song in the introduction for years, to eliminate that because of some incident in the distant past, well, people could not have done as much as she did in the entertainment field, except for a man like Bob Hope, who appeared everywhere for the military and so forth. But today, look at Seinfeld 2 years ago announcing he would never work in a university again. And now it's seven more comedians have told me the same thing. They say Kreskin, comedy is being destroyed in this country because you can't kid about certain things. You have groups that now will criticize you and say that there was prejudice there, you're getting involved in nationalities and what have you, and what have you. Well, anyway, that's the beginning of the breakdown of a society when your humor and the reason Seinfeld, and listen to this, prepare yourself for a shock, all of you listening in, the reason Seinfeld stepped down is that now, in major universities in this country, if you are a comedian and going in to perform, you must supply them with a script, your entire script, so they can edit it. As Seinfeld said, who the hell ever started editing a comedian who ad-libs all the time? This is part of their career. Now, I just got a message about three and a half months ago from Hollywood, that area. They are so upset there because some of the major establishments that have entertainment and meals and what have you now insist that the performers come in, give an entire script of a performance. We are starting to edit. We're starting to cut down. We're starting to cut down the size of our audiences, unless it's a riot. And, of course, you can stand there and watch a building being burnt down. I'm not sure, Scott, that I could do such a thing as an American citizen to see a building burnt and just stand there. Not that I would want the criminals involved, and they are criminals. They're criminals. To say they're protesting this and that, it has nothing to do with nationalities and color of skin and so forth. No. This is extraordinarily well organized. There are multimillionaires involved in supplying this. If I told you the millions of dollars contributed to some organizations that you think are just there to protest prejudice against black, white, green, what have you, and so forth, that is only part of the picture. The money that's being, there is a desire to break down our country so it becomes a socialist society. But let's look at this. Sure, we'll give everything for free. We'll have a sense of entitlement. Nobody's responsible for anything because everything will be given them, whether it's college, what have you, because it's so expensive. And then what happens in a socialist society? And for God's sakes, why don't they teach history? The money then, the taxes become extremely high for the wealthy in the city. Now, some of the most wealthy, the billionaires, and I will not mention a number of names, although a lot of you listening in have heard their names, are financing this whole part of this whole movement. But what happens is, when a society becomes socialistic, then the taxes change, and the wealthier ones are charged a much higher tax. And then what inevitably happens is that they run out of money, and it slowly becomes a communist country. And if you look at the history of communism, including the six towns, the six cities in South America, which in recent years are now in poverty, they were amongst the most popular vacation towns in the Western world. And today, they say, Kreskin, the places are a miserable mess because they just drained of the money, So when something becomes a communist setting, it slowly, inevitably collapses, as happened in Russia and other parts of the world. So I believe right now, and I love this country, and I said this, and you're the, and I said it now because I trust talking to you, and I had to say this somewhere. This is going to be the beginning of some of my remarks on what's happening, because this country is just too great to allow it to collapse. And there are some people, some very famous people whose names I dare not mention because they confided in me, who feel, Kreskin, it's almost too late. There's such control over our educational system. Now that we're going to be taught certain changes in, and in colleges now, that's gone. I've known this for 3 or 4 or 5 years, the anti-American feeling that's in some of the universities, and then the breakdown of our getting together. People have gotten together less and less. Young people are thinking in terms of suicide, 25% now, psychologists tell me, and not meeting and so forth is causing people to reach a point where they're for the first time afraid to express themselves. Because, Scott, there was a time in American history, my entire life, I can remember years ago as a kid, after the Second World War, my uncles who were in the Marines and in the Army, arguing about politics, and then when we finished eating supper, we went in the living room and they're joking about everything else on the face of the earth. Today, and I've sat just recently in a production meeting in broadcasting where a group of us were sitting, and someone said something positive about President Trump. And I'm not playing sides, but one of the members of the group got up and left the room and sat in the kitchen and would not join us anymore. That we cannot barter and express opinions, and you understand what I'm saying, Scott, because you hear this, I'm sure, all the time.
And I do, and Kreskin, I got to ask you this because, and by the way, it was Irving Berlin who did God Bless.
That's right.
Yeah, Irving Berlin.
But the greatest, and one of the greatest, can you believe this Jewish immigrant who sat as a kid, in he didn't have an entitlement thing. He was brought in by his family, and he had sat in bars when he was 5, 6, 7 years old and sing simple songs. And here, this Jewish immigrant wrote the most popular Christmas, the most popular recording, single record of all time, Bing Crosby singing Red Christmas. He wrote the most popular Easter song, Easter Parade, and there was a great movement when I was a kid, but Irving Berlin said, no, I respect the national anthem. My money for the song goes to the Boy Scouts of America and so on. They wanted God Bless America to be the replacement for the national anthem, but he felt that was not the American spirit to have. Isn't that's what this country was made of?
And right now, Kreskin, I think the number one question as we head into 2021 here before we wrap this up, but the one that
I talked too much today.
No. I think the number one question that I hear, obviously, as we head into this, because people are receiving some vaccinations now and numbers are high and we still are paying attention to that, is will 2021 be the year that the pandemic ends? When will it end? How long do we have left with this? What's a prediction in regard to
this?
Well,
in the case of the medical area, I don't feel that close to medicine and what have you. I think that it will end, most of it will end. The problem is that you can always create modified versions of the disease, and I don't think the disease was accidental. I think it was created and used extraordinarily effectively, but that's beside the point. I don't know, but the problem now is it's become much more complicated because the disease opened a Pandora's box that allowed all these other factors to. I would like to see young people out of, and I believe there are going to be 3 or 4 people out of university that will gather together and put together an organization which has spent its time approaching political leaders in different cities and saying, get your ass in order. Let's think, it's wonderful that we're giving millions of dollars to people in foreign countries and what have you, and it doesn't make sense to me because I think we should be selfish and think of the people who are in trouble and have problems in this country. But there's various ways of buying favoritism, And that's the complication that's getting out of control right now. We're isolating people. We're making it more and more difficult for people to succeed in the business world, because the business world has been almost destroyed. New York City, I live just 20 minutes, 25 minutes away, is a ghost town today. I talked to some of the finest people I've ever met who are leaving the city. Who would have ever dreamt that this was allowed to happen? But then again, you have to understand wisdom. Who in the right mind, Scott, would ever empty prisons of criminals because of a disease? And now, in many of the cases of the riots and what have you, some of those people involved are criminals who haven't given up the practice of breaking the law.
Kreskin, with 1 minute left here, now when you say created on who created this pandemic on purpose?
I don't have any one purpose. No, I don't have any one person. It came together. There are multimillionaires who are making money, because when you put companies out of business, then a lot of the activity goes to only a few companies. And that has happened. By the way, there is now one broadcasting company, I will not mention the name, that is now owned by the Communist Party of China. But then, why doesn't someone investigate and find out the scores and scores and scores of buildings now in New York City that are owned by the Communist Party of China? We don't know what the hell is clearly going on. And I am not an alarmist, because I've held back on discussing this for 2 years.
Boy, Kreskin, it's an interesting new year we're going into. We're going to have to talk more. Happy New Year to you. It's always great to have you on, and we will talk again soon.
And I'm going to say, be the good Lord willing, we're going to make this a greater country. And by the way, one of the first steps is to return the money. Listen to me, folks, and insist on your politicians, whether they're intelligent or not, insist they do this. Return the money to the police in the United States. We need police to protect this country. Don't start draining them and condemning them.
Thank you, Kreskin.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The amazing Kreskin. There you go. We'll be back in just about 10 minutes.
Programs on W Radio 107.FM